Hi there, it's Matthew Wood. I play the voice of General Grievous in the Battle Droids on Revenge of the Sith and the Clone Wars, now working on Star Wars Rebels. I just want to say hello from the Rhode Island Comic Con to the Star Wars Report, and
of course you realize you are doomed.
He said, doomed to the terrible fate of podcasting about that galaxy far, far away. That's what we're doomed to do, Mr. Matthew Wood. Hey, that's some pretty cool audio. We'll talk about that in a second. Hey, I'm Riley, host of this here podcast. It's the Star Wars Report podcast, a flagship podcast of StarWarsReport.com. It is not by coincidence that our fair podcast shares the name of our website. And indeed, I'm excited about tonight's show. I'd like to welcome to the program, as always, my fellow co-host, co-founder of the Star Wars Report, and all-around cool Star Wars fan. It's Bethany.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Yes.
I like the pause for dramatic effect.
Oh, I did, yes.
And then, of course, Mr. Mark Herleman.
Oh, what was that, dude? No, not you, Riley, but Whistler.
I thought
you were giving me a sad one. That's much better, buddy. Ah, it's so good to be back. You know, there's been so much chaos.
Yeah, we missed
of late.
Exactly, we missed last week. It was just another chaotic week of school for Bethany and myself. But as we record this, it's not our normal recording time. But by gosh, by darn, by golly. We made time this weekend, so we sit here at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's November the 22nd, 2014. A Star Wars trailer is probably on the works, and that's going to be the bulk of this week's podcast discussion, which we will not delay any further. I say it's time for some news.
We have something to report.
Stand closer, I have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is! Listen!
But before we get into all the trailer talk, a Mace Windu spinoff film? Is it true? Is it possible? Well, I have one thing. To say about this. This party is definitely not over. Let's see. AJ Edwards doing a Mace Windu Star Wars spinoff film. At least that's according to a Reddit AMA. Ask me anything. I'm sure the demon hordes of the internet are well aware. It's one of the primary ways that. let's face it. Reddit AMAs are basically giant studios set up with popular actors, and they sit down at a laptop in terror, terrified of what the demon hordes of the internet will ask the person, because they will then be forced to answer in some way or not. They have no idea what it is or who these people are. They just know there are lots of them, so they do these Reddit AMAs.
Is this like the online form of Cards Against Humanity?
Exactly. Yeah, something like that.
Here it comes.
So AJ Edwards is evidently in talks to do a spinoff film about Mace Windu. At least that's according to this Reddit AMA that he did. So basically, this guy on Reddit says, your film was a great film, but I can't wait for the world to see it. Is there any truth to the rumor that you'll be directing a spin-off Star Wars film? And he responded, quote, talking about it, not able to say a lot yet. Wait for it. It'll focus on Mace Windu. Not a lot.
I know. Not a lot. I love that he says, I can't really say much about it, but the main character is Mace Windu. Right, yes. Yeah. I mean,
when,
I feel like it's April Fool's.
When is all I need to know? Just when is this placed?
I feel cynical doubts creeping into my Star Wars fan heart here right now. I feel like it's April Fool's Day or some such thing, or maybe somebody was a little bit too drunk.
Don't let it corrupt you.
Maybe in preparing for the terror of the AMA, as Riley called it, maybe somebody got a little too drunk or something. I don't know.
Harrison Ford did an AMA a while ago going into there's a big controversy because this was the still bearded Harrison Ford before they started filming, and he did an AMA, and he was at a director's chair that people thought might be Carrie Fisher's. Like, oh, is he already on the set? And that was already, a big deal in and of itself. But he's like, you can't just casually drop, yeah, I'm in talks, can't really say a lot. It's about Mace Windu. I don't know. So, of course, that was kind of the story. I seriously doubt...
Spinoff, though. I mean that's, I love the choice word there. I mean, for me, that screams like... It's got to be like from his last point, right? Or would that be something that we'd do before episode one? Or that would be a prequel then, right? A Mace Windu prequel film, right? I mean, a spinoff to me seems like something that would come after episode three, after he lost the hand, after he fell down. The video game showed that he actually landed once and Anakin jumped down and chopped him up some more. But I mean, come on. You've seen people fall and live through. Darth Maul certainly qualifies in the canon state as to why Mace Windu should still possibly be alive. I mean, there should definitely be that possibility. So if this isn't a post episode three film, like, tickle me awesome. I mean, I would love it.
Possible.
I would love to have him have like some little cameo where he gets all mad and the path of the righteous Jedi is beset on each side by the tyranny of an evil empire dictatorship.
So, Mark, I think we've talked about it before, but just because I'm tired and I'm not positive, have you read Shatterpoint?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Has he read Shatterpoint? Has Mark Herleman read Shatterpoint?
But I did want to point out what you said about essentially Mace Windu rising. Wow, this sounds like we're getting all Dark Knight up in this joint. But with the end of The Revenge of the Sith, if you'll recall, it seems like Yoda... and the other Jedi, namely Obi-Wan at that time, essentially kind of give up to a certain degree once they've realized, you know what, we've lost this battle. We haven't necessarily fully lost the war, but we've definitely lost this battle, at least. You know, and Yoda's all, I failed. So I wonder, it could be possible that Mace got his hand chopped off and got blasted out of the window, and that was to him, you know, a sign that I have failed and I need to go and figure out something else.
He may not
absolutely.
Be the...
I mean, think about this. He was there with three other venerable Jedi Masters, and they barely lasted 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a humbling moment for Mace. I mean, he was the youngest Jedi to join the Council. So, I mean, he's got all that pride going with it. And even he told Anakin, you know, stay here, and then you'll prove your loyalty. So, I mean, you know, to get through all of that, and then at the end, have Anakin be the one to turn on him. I mean, to know that you're the one that blew that by not trusting him when you should have.
Maybe, just maybe, the Force awakens in Mace Windu.
Maybe he's not the Jedi Knight we want, but he's the Jedi Knight we need.
He's the Jedi Knight we deserve.
I couldn't resist.
Okay.
It's funny because whenever you're playing the Hans Zimmer soundtrack, you have to wait until the climax when you hear the... I apologize.
Well, I guess for me to go back to my more
everywhere died.
To go to my more original, I won't say irritation with this rumor, but definitely pretty massive level of skepticism. I would say skepticism for sure is after having interviewed a number of folks in the movie and TV industry. We have learned, Riley and I, and in some ways the hard way, just how secure they like to keep things. And I highly, highly doubt that anyone who is involved with a potential Mace Windu movie would release that kind of information in this fashion.
Yeah. If this project were actually anywhere near to be a reality, I think that this AJ Edwards is definitely not going to be. What's the word? My point being, actors have lost roles
by spilling beans. And
yeah. Well, and I think that the project could be a reality, but AJ Edwards, if he was going to do it, he's not going to do it anymore. especially, and what probably happened is like there's some off conversation where somebody's agent talked to somebody's agent, and they're like, "Yeah, well, we'll throw your name up there." And so in the Reddit AMA, he's just like,
"Or
yeah.
maybe he's." I mean, like the folks at Making Star Wars say, maybe he's just being completely sarcastic. You know?
Maybe. Could be. Well,
maybe it's just Samuel L. Jackson at work again. He's like, I want to do a movie. I'm going to have it. Disney, how much money do you need to make it a reality? Mace is coming back in a big way with the purple lightsaber.
Wait, no. Samuel L. Jackson paid AJ Edwards to say this just to get all of the people on the interwebs excited about the possibility. There, now we're getting full on crazy here.
Because of that.
Mm. I was just having a little bit of free time this afternoon to go through some old
free time. Yes,
to go through some old Star Wars Insider magazines, like you do, and I remember there was.
Oh, that
meanwhile,
kind of
I was watching Divergent, which I never got a chance to see.
Have you finished it?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Somebody important just died, but
okay,
yeah.
To spoilers. But yes, so Star Wars Inside.
Someone died in a movie!
Fair point.
You new writer for the Star Wars Report, just massively spoiled a Game of Thrones thing for me accidentally.
No, spoiled or almost spoiled?
Spoiled. Completely spoiled.
No, don't tell me it's a spoiler because...
Yeah, la 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 la.
We'll talk about it later. okay, I'm now completely.
I don't plan on reading the books.
Okay,
so,
I'm completely now absolutely thrown off track. But to Star Wars Insider, so I was reading.
Wait, I thought this was the Game of Thrones / Dark Knight podcast.
No, it is not.
It's the Samuel L. Jackson
like the
podcast.
Old Simpsons episode. Come on, talk about Star Wars. No, I was reading the Star Wars Insider issue, and it was from 1998, and it was like this. Big three-page spread on, you know, full interview expose with Sam Jackson, and it's like showing him in all of his like hardcore theatrical, enthusiastic character roles that he's done over the years, and it's like him in Pulp Fiction and him with Bruce Willis, and he's just like looking like a total boss in this magazine article, and I'm just thinking to myself, No wonder fans were disappointed with his really comically minimal role in episode one. It's funny because like Sam Jackson's one of the greatest. He's the snakes on a plane reference, of which I can't quote because it's not family friendly. But he's that guy. He's the guy from Django Unchained. He's like he is the character actor that you can get to just go balls to the wall crazy and do it so well. And it's like. George Lucas is like, we're not going to let that happen. And it's just like, a ship? A cup? He's like, the boy has
Well, and he has one of the best non-speaking lines in all of the prequels. Probably the whole saga. It's when Yoda says, misread the prophecy may have been, and Mace looks over and gives him, you damn straight look with his eyebrows.
That's so true. That's true. He's like, that's right, Yoda.
Preach on, brother.
What's
my
funny is that,
brother friend.
He's, even with his limited dialogue and really muted role in episode one, he's still so Sam Jackson that his role was expanded in episode two and three. And of course we got to see him go crazy and
well,
say, this
and speaking of
over.
Expanded, the expanded universe. Now Legends, Dark Horse did some really cool stories with Mace. Some where he went after other Jedi that had gone astray. They'd left the order. He brought Kukruk back for one. One, he went after a slave ring with another group of Jedi Masters. The same group of Jedi Masters he took against Darth Sidious and lost, but in the comic it was glorious. So it gave, you know, the EU a chance to explore the character in ways that we would have liked to have seen on film, but it was a little more family friendly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, Mace, if they do a character basically a character piece of Mace post Revenge of the Sith, honestly, that would be very interesting to me because Mace, in a way, was the face of all of the Jedi's flaws come Revenge of the Sith. His lack of trust, his sort of egotistical approach towards the Chancellor, his, you know, I'm going to decide to kill the Emperor because I think it's the right thing to do, which I kind of agreed with him, but let's face it, Jedi aren't really supposed to do that. You know, Mace is a bit of a jerk, and for his powers in Shatterpoint, he lost those, and I think he lost sight of those. And a post Revenge of the Sith Mace, I think, would be a lot wiser, and that would be very fascinating to see.
Yeah, and his Shatterpoint ability was a really cool ability in the books. I mean, even later Legends books, they had Janna go and learn that ability, and they didn't master it or use it that much. Like, I think the only time she actually used it was while she was training at Mandalore against the Mandalorian. She used it on some of the armor and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's a cool ability to be able to see, you know, the one linchpin of everything and be able to do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I mean, I agree with Teresa that basically Mace is a jerk come the end of the prequel trilogy, and a very irritating character in a lot of ways, but he's always fascinated me. Maybe it's the purple lightsaber, but I would be very interested to see what they would do with an older and wiser Mace Windu, who still kind of has that bravado.
I guess that's the point, is if there is a spinoff project, it better be Sam Jackson, and it better be post-Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I actually feel pretty strongly about that. Yeah. And I don't usually about Star Wars rumors, except for the Luke and Han rumors that, of course, were, you know, definitely rumors.
There's a reason those aren't on the show this week. But speaking of rumors, it's the Star Wars Episode 7 trailer. There have been leaks. There have been speculation. There have been description. There have been guesses as to which film it's going to come out. And we're going to talk all about it right after this.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
And of course, Joe, who did the amazing voiceover there, was referring to the Star Wars rumors for this week.
And I thought they smelled bad.
Indeed.
On the outside.
What you'll see in the Force Awakens teaser. So basically, rumors have been a fly-in in the last 2 weeks since we've done a show about this teaser, the teaser trailer, because we're getting towards that time.
Or, would you say rather more that the rumors have been flow-walking?
No, we're not referencing. We don't have to reference that anymore. Thank the Force. We don't have to reference that anymore. No, we're talking about the Force Awakens teaser that has been really... You know, accelerated, I guess.
It has flow-walked its way into our hearts.
Stop it! You already threw me off once. Stop it! No, where was I? Yes, basically, it's been floating around, and then we had, of course, the big thing
It's been flow-walking around.
Is that John Williams recorded some original score, and there's some pretty good sources saying that he went in studio in California, sunny California, to record original music for a Force Awakens teaser trailer. And that was independently, I get not confirmed as in confirmed as much as I guess it'll ever be. We don't know that he was recording Star Wars stuff, but we definitely know from some of the stuff that's been out there that he was recording something. So it's probably Force Awakens, and that's where the story begins. It ends with full hardcore speculation that this thing's coming out like while we podcast right now. Like this thing is just it's gonna project onto the side of our house just right now. And, no, not really. But basically what's gonna happen is that it's several sources have been talking about this like 1 minute to 90 second teaser coming out in the next few weeks, which actually makes sense. That'll be about 1 year out. It'll be a little further out than previous Star Wars movies, but for like most Disney films, they do release like a teaser trailer for a lot of their films quite a ways out. I remember when the Les Miserables teaser trailer came out, and it was just basically the one song, and that was more than a year out. And so now we have a piece from November 17th on Making Star Wars, and it's basically what you'll see in the Force Awakens teaser. This is their source where somebody saw the teaser that they've been cutting together and just kind of brain dumped everything that they can remember. So we're going into mild spoiler territory, but then again, remember, this is a teaser trailer. They're not going to really reveal any plot points, but this is going to be the bulk of the discussion of today's show and the main segment. So let's dive in deep. Let's talk about this piece for Making Star Wars. Here's some information from someone who briefly saw the teaser for The Force Awakens. It's not organized in any order, but this is the gist of what I'm told we'll see. It's not a full teaser description, obviously, but the information sounds fun. Interesting. So here we go. Fade in from black, shots of the dunes. Boyega pops into the shot from below, and he's wearing white stormtrooper armor. but he doesn't have a helmet on. Ridley boards a speeder. She has a helmet like Indoor Leia. There's a shot of Ridley speeder approaching the TMZ set photo station that we all saw not but a few months ago. We see new stormtroopers on transport. The flight is turbulent. We see new X-Wings and TIE Fighters. The new ball droid, that's a gyroscope that belongs to Kira, the rumored name of Daisy Ridley's character. The new Sith is also revealed. And this is that thing, and there was some concept art of this leaked. He has a cross-beam lightsaber, and the beam of the lightsaber itself is wider and more supercharged than your normal lightsaber.
That cross-beam, now think of a long sword, the old medieval long swords. The ones you could turn upside down. Braveheart, the one that he had like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you have with this cross-saber. The extra ones are kind of like the small end piece of the hilt.
Yeah. Okay. See, the funny thing here is it's actually misspelled and says Wilder. So when I first read it, I had this image of like
a Wilder
lightsaber that was, flashing around.
Yeah, there's an extra L in there, I think. I remember I saw this piece. Where did I see this concept art? I can't remember if it was. It wasn't TMZ. It was probably.
It was a concept. It was like a sketch. They made it look like a medieval sword. It was like a yellow blade or something.
Yeah. And then finally, last shot, the Falcon. So there it is. That's the description of the teaser, or at least of what this person can remember. One thing I'm missing from the show notes when I was putting it together this afternoon is I believe it was and this is where I get into dangerous territory because I'm going off of memory now. There was a Slash film piece, I believe, that talked about that was another description of this trailer, and it was from a different source than Making Star Wars. And in it, at the very end of the trailer, you hear the voiceover, and Daisy Ridley's voice says, "Wake up." Wake up! No, she doesn't do that. It's just the first part. It's just like, wake up. I just imagine her kind of whispering it. And then, of course, it's the title. The Force Awakens. That's pretty cool. I'll tell you what. I mean, I guess the details of it, I really don't actually care about that much. Oh, there's new X-Wings and the trooper transport. What I care about is just seeing this teaser. and that's what I would, but I guess based off of the description, before we get into the details of like when this might come out, where we might see it, what we might see, what's your initial reaction, Bethany?
My initial reaction is I like the sound of it, but none of it's really surprising for me, makes sense. So it's not like I'm blown away, just in the sense that I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just dying to know who these characters are. Like, I want to know.
Yeah, the Daisy Ridley, John Boyega. Because, yes, we're going to see no shortage. If Rebels has taught us anything, we are going to see no shortage of homages and references. And remember the original trilogy? You all like the original trilogy, right? This is like the original trilogy. Did you notice he doesn't have a helmet on? And it's like, remember that scene in the original trilogy?
Yeah.
It's like that scene in the original trilogy. Remember that?
She has a helmet on like Indoor Leia? Ooh la Leia. And it's like the original trilogy, guys. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing.
No,
I mean,
it's
I don't
just
wanna...
the marketing nature of it, though.
Yeah. And I mean, the prequels did make some improvements. Obviously, at least visually, and some would argue in other areas as well. And that's not an argument I necessarily want to get into on the show today, but I don't want to like pretend the prequels didn't exist. I mean, they're not the holiday special. And my apologies to anyone out there who adores the holiday special.
They don't exist.
No, they do.
No.
They've been telling me to watch it. Riley and I have not watched
the
holiday special.
It's not canon anymore.
I tried once.
It's Legends.
I really tried once. I tried once to watch the holiday
special. We're going
to
try.
There is no defender of the holiday special. Like, you'll find people saying, well, the cartoon was okay. But there is not a person. I dare anybody to email
this
show.
It's in a blog post on our site.
I know a few out there, so you're going to get an email or two.
No. Not for
I
the
know
nostalgia.
Two people.
Somebody genuinely tell me that the holiday special is good.
I was told if you drink during it, it helps.
Yes, every time a Wookiee roars.
We celebrate.
Only Han would do it.
A day of peace.
I don't know. Riley and I will probably try
Chaz
to
Bizarre
watch
is
this
in the chat, and I'm just saying, get out of here. I don't believe you. I don't believe that you like the holidays.
You know, well, when I think of first impressions, I go back to episode one's trailer. And when you see the Gungans coming out of that mist, that had me just like I was dialed into a whole different premise as to what that scene was going to be. But I was convinced that was going to be one of the baddest battles of the whole movie. You know,
it was okay.
Really, but, you know, but ever since then, like I keep thinking back to that because that trailer was one of the best trailers I've ever seen for one of the Star Wars films. Like the way it captured the mystery of it's all back, which is what they're going to be trying to capitalize on right now. I mean, in a sense, that marketing aspect hasn't changed from what they were doing with the prequels. They were capitalizing on the original trilogy, but they were like, you're going to see something new. So in a sense, they're like, now you're going to go back, but you're going back even further in time by going forward in time because time's backwards in my analogy. So whatever.
But I hear
either
you.
Way it works. I mean, the marketing campaign is always aimed at the original trilogy. I think though the part that where you guys especially feel, because I feel the same way in a lot of regards, is how a lot of people see it as a failure with the prequels. It was like they may have their yeses and nos, but they were not really a failure by any means of the word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. No, so I guess I mean my initial reaction to the description is just I want to see it. As we're doing this today, doing the recording, there was a GIF of the Millennium Falcon sprinting towards the screen.
Sprinting?
Whooshing?
Whooshing.
Flying
whooshing sounds better.
Towards the screen. Yeah, sprinting doesn't work at all.
No. I pictured a cartoon Millennium Falcon complete with legs and arms flailing Johnny Depp style.
Yes, like that. Yeah, that's true. Lando sitting on top going,
yes, right. Exactly.
But
sticking out the top.
It looked.
Part.
I'm pretty sure it's almost certainly fan made. But it was really cool because it was like pretty good CGI, and it was like they painted the in the center of the disc shape. Of course, you have the on the surface on the top, and then on the bottom of the Falcon, you have these two kind of protruding. I guess my English is failing me, but you know. You have the kind of center, I guess, over the top and over the bottom. And so, like, there's this red stripe over the surface of the Falcon painted the way they did the shot there. And then they actually put the square weird – and this is, again, not really spoiler territory, but this is from the Grinham Common photos. You remember the Millennium Falcon had the square antenna dish on it now because, of course, we all remember in Return of the Jedi due to Lando's – less than perfect, but pretty good piloting skills. Of course, the Millennium Falcon lost its wonderful gigantic round antenna dish on it. So it was a good fake. I'll give it that, but it was almost certainly fake. So, but hey, it made me that much more excited to see this this teaser.
Indeed, but you know what's missing from description? As much as we have
Luke Skywalker,
yes, a number
Han Solo, Princess Leia. Chewbacca, R2-D2, C-3PO, Jedi.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
there's a lot
as
missing.
Much as we have what seems like a very nostalgic sort of approach to this teaser, we're not actually getting original trilogy stuff. I mean, we are some, yes, but it's new X-Wings. And yes, we have the Falcon, but we have pretty much all new characters. And, you know, yeah. So it's just interesting to me that we have so much nostalgia, but we don't see Luke Skywalker in the picture. We don't see Carrie Fisher. We don't see Chewie, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, you know, we don't know how much of this is true, but still, it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'll tell you what. So, but that's not really the only aspect of the teaser that's been out and about. The Star Wars, this is the following, 2 days later, also from Making Star Wars, which is, by the way, just kind of become my go-to place for Episode 7 news. is the Star Wars Force Awakens teaser hitting with The Hobbit?
Yes. Ooh, I really want Star it to. Yes, yes, I'm so excited. Like, I just, oh.
Yes. The Force Awakens teaser is hitting with The Hobbit. They will be getting engaged next month, and we will all be invited.
I was too, Chaz.
Oh, man.
I got Rickrolled very hard on the teaser trailer. Now, okay, I'm going to Celebration, and I want something special at Celebration, but at the same time, I want the sneak peek at The Hobbit. I think that makes sense. I'm going to The Hobbit. I'm like, yes, please, give me some Star Wars at Hobbit time.
Yeah.
You know, kind of set the tone. You know, give me some Star Wars this year. I'll have Star Wars next year from here on out. Let's get it going. You know, let's throw the dice. I'm ready to take the role. But at the same time, I think it makes sense because you get your teaser now, and then you get your first full-length trailer at Celebration. Or you know, maybe that's too soon, but I don't care. I want a full-length at Celebration. I think this is the best way to get there. Otherwise, I don't think that this is going to happen, and then I think they're going to wait for Celebration. But I would love to, and I really hope that this is the case, that we are going to get a sneak peek at The Hobbit.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, to kind of go off of what Mark was saying, how much do you really think they will market things at Celebration and announce things there? I mean, I think, yes, they will, but Star Wars is no longer – I mean, Lucasfilm is no longer just Lucasfilm. It's now Disney. And, I mean, you have – like, I just completely blinked.
D23?
Yeah, you have D23 coming up.
Well, I don't expect them to market much. That's why I was thinking originally they would only do a sneak. You'd get your first sneak peek at Celebration. So if this rumor is false, that's truly what I really, from the start, believed. But if any time they were going to do it, The Hobbit would be the safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right demo, isn't it? Yeah, The Hobbit, it's always...
Well, and time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's probably not ready for... going with the Hunger Games, but it would have been, man, there was a part of me in the back of my mind thinking, oh, how cool would it be? Because Bethany and I went to a Thursday night screening. It's not really a midnight screening because they showed it at 8 of the Hunger Games Mockingjay. I keep wanting to call it Catching Fire. I did that on Twitter too. I was like, Catching Fire was amazing. And they're like, you mean like that? But we saw that, and there was a part of me that, man, like, there was in the back of my mind, I was thinking...
And you know what I did during the film? I turned to Riley, and for anyone who has seen the film or read the books, they'll know what I'm talking about, but I will keep it spoiler-free. I turned to Riley most of the way through the film, and I was like, you do know what's going to happen, don't you? You do know that something terrible is about to happen, don't you? And Riley looked at me and he was like, I just want to leave the theater now.
I did, yeah. It's a good movie. We need now I want to do a whole study, but now I just want to review Mockingjay.
We could do that after the show.
If we had time. Sadly, we don't. Back to The Force Awakens. So with The Hobbit. So I didn't actually get into the story itself. So in the story, this was basically from a tweet from a user, Reese Steele. And he talked with a gentleman named Thomas Gormley and said, basically, you might want to go see The Hobbit, in reference to the teaser trailer. But then, subsequently, like the very... sorry, I just saw another tweet. But basically, within 24 hours, I remember this going down. It's like, oh, everybody's like, Hobbit. Oh, maybe that's it. And then someone else... And then there was another news story where someone with an inside kind of information was saying, oh, they've got much bigger plans than The Hobbit. Like, you think them Bagginses and other characters besides Bagginses.
Proud feet.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. This is why I love you, Mark. Because it's so obscure. I was trying to think of like the last name.
They got pints?
I was trying to think of the last name of Thorin, and then I couldn't. Oakenshield? Because Oakenshield isn't a last name. Anyway, so yeah. So, but basically, the follow-up story very quickly was, no, there are bigger plans. Bigger plans than just The Hobbit for the launch of the Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Batman 5, Superman, Dawn of Justice, the Band of Steel thing. That's just a lot of movie titles.
That is a lot.
What they need to do is they need to make that the last of the trailers right before every film. It's like, okay, we got all these great movies coming all next year, but don't forget, keep your eye on the prize, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, so here's basically... Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, it makes sense to be attached to The Hobbit because The Hobbit, I'll say, it's an older franchise. It's a more mature franchise. Maybe I can put it that way. So I would expect the trailer to an old and well-established franchise to be attached to a movie from another old and established franchise that is a part of the same demographic.
You would think, but
it doesn't really fit.
I present to you the following news story. 90-second Star Wars Force Awakens teaser to show in front of every film at 100 select theaters next weekend. This is on the heels of a slash film story, but also pointed to more Reddit users who are saying, quote, for next weekend only, not sure if it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or just Saturday, Sunday, a 90-second trailer for the new Star Wars will appear before every single showtime for every single movie at 100 theaters nationwide. I don't know exactly which theaters. Word has it that Disney told all theaters getting the trailer that Big Hero 6 had to be the earliest showtime for each day, assuming that fans would all buy tickets to the earliest showing possible, and thus maybe an announcement would be made of some kind to make a special kind of pilgrimage event. So here's the theory behind it. And so his source, this is a Reddit user who was talking to a theater owner who had given this, and we're all taking, again, this is all just taking his word for it, that some random Reddit user talked to some random movie owner, theater owner, who knows this. So, like, this is really, like, third, fourth hand stuff.
I know, but a guy who knew a guy who once been with a guy, man.
Exactly, exactly. So, basically, though, what the theory is that this teaser, where they would set, like, select theater locations and show this teaser in a limited screen, like I would assume before they would publish it online, and thus kind of set these pilgrimage points for hardcore Star Wars fans to all converge and go see the trailer as kind of an experience, which is a brilliant marketing idea if they do this. If this is true, and like, for instance, we're going to show, so we'll use ourselves as an example. One of the nicest screens in the Atlanta area is up in Midtown Atlanta. I'm blanking on the actual theater chain, but it's where we saw the Hobbit midnight screening last year, Bethany. Right there up in Midtown Atlanta, and it is a beautiful screening place. It's where Lucasfilm also screened the Clone Wars, I guess Savage Opress episodes, and that was a great experience. And it's a great theater. It's where we did again the Hobbit midnight screening. If that were the location, and there was a press release, and it was like all the 501st guys and all the Dragon Con community here in Atlanta, and everyone they made this pilgrimage on a Friday night to go see this Big Hero 6 with the special Star Wars trailer, that would be a great experience and would be a brilliant social media campaign. So if they did like a press release and a hashtag and everything, that would be the way to do it.
That would be awesome.
But now what's probably going to happen is that none of this is true, and it's all Bantha Poodoo, and all of my excitement is just going to like pop up on, since it didn't work out so well for Avengers, they're just going to slap it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and try to get it to screen there. But anyway, that's kind of the third and final piece to what this trailer might be. And by the way, I never thought that we would be 37 minutes into a Star Wars Report podcast talking about the pre-trailer. Like, this is what we think might happen with the trailer.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful wonderful world we live in, indeed.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I just got distracted by the chat of, it's the GIF. Infamous GIF.
The GIF! That's the one you were talking about earlier.
That's the one, Mark.
I mean, when it's I look convincing. At it, I'm like, they got to be blurring that down. That can't either, you know, I mean, if that's legitimately it, like, it's going to be much better quality when we actually see it.
Well, it is a GIF, so it would be kind of reduced
and
quality.
Degrading and all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a GIF. It would be reduced quality, but as I look at it, in fact, I'm just going to cue it up, Bethany, where you can see it. And this will be, I guess, our final point of discussion before we jump to feedback. But there it is, Bethany. That's the GIF. And the thing is that, and I was kind of confused about it. Brian Young sent a tweet. He's like, they're aping the, this is where Riley doesn't do Twitter very well. Brian Young said, very intelligent, it's like they're aping, they're taking the shot from Slave One in the Attack of the Clones trailer. Remember that, Bethany? This is like the infamous shot of Slave One attacking Obi-Wan. And it's even like the same colored beams on the lightsaber. And so I thought, it must be
same ship turning kind of thematic elements.
Which made me suspicious and assume that they must be compositing the compositing a shot of the Millennium Falcon from Return of the Jedi, because if you remember, Bethany, that looks, and I'll put this, I'll show it to you again, Bethany. Mm-hmm. That's the that's kind of looks like the shot from Return of the Jedi where the Millennium Falcon zooms at the screen during the second battle for the Death Star.
Yeah,
and then they just composited like the shots of Slave One. But upon looking at it a second time, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, but
being...
it also looks like you've got X-wing blasters coming away. Like they took the X-wing flying in one of the episodes from the original trilogy and dubbed it over or something.
Yeah, I mean, if that's it's fake, like, it's good.
I think it's just got to be the degrading of it being, you know, transferred from place to place, because I would think that that couldn't be just the final look of the Falcon. I mean, I would expect a little more crispness.
Well, and again, this is a year out from filming. They've only just started post-production. If it's real, it makes sense that it's not perfect. But if it's fake, it's a really good fake. And down to like the squared antenna slash whatever, I guess you would call that.
As it gets really close, though, I mean, the way the blaster pattern is going looks too much like the X-Wing when it's on single fire, when it goes from top, bottom, bottom, top. You know, in the circle pattern.
Yeah.
And you look at the turret, and the turret looks like it's got maybe two things there. So it's like, how is it throwing that out? Like, that'd be moving around way too fast. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of cynical. Like, I think somebody's just really good at their craft.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your verdict, Bethany?
This one, I mean, to me, it's really exciting, but it is just a shot of the Millennium Falcon, very similar to a shot we've seen in the other films.
Just a shot of the Millennium. I'm offended.
No, I mean, it's exciting, and if it's true, then it being red in the front like that and the slightly different design, that is really intriguing to me, because one wonders if Han would appreciate a color change like that, and I kind of think not. For anybody who watches Supernatural out there, picture that you're taking Dean's car and painting a big red, like, block on the front of it. And that was totally lost on Riley. But Mark, you understand.
Yep. Mark knows.
Yep.
Well, man.
I feel you, sister.
Yeah, I hear you. So I guess... So we're going to take this Twitter question.
Before you move in, mm-hmm. Bethany brought something up earlier about the shatter point, and I wanted to go back to that, because before we moved on to other news, I was desperately grabbing my book and scrambling, trying to think of what page it was. It was page 333 of Revenge of the Sith, during the moment right before Anakin cuts off Mace's hand, where Mace's shatter point comes back. And he goes, it's Palpatine talking at this moment. "Destroy this traitor," the Chancellor said, his voice raised over the howl of the writhing energy that joined his hand to Mace's blade. "This was never an arrest. This is an assassination." That was when Mace finally understood. He had it. The key to final victory. Palpatine's shatter point. The absolute shatter point of the Sith. The shatter point of the dark side itself. Mace thought, blankly, astonished. Palpatine trusts Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, he does. He's been planting the seed for some time.
Dun, dun,
indeed
dun.
He has.
So let's answer this question. This is a Twitter question from Brian Bailey, who's in the chat, actually. What are you hoping to see in the Force Awakens trailer next weekend, hopefully? What elements specifically, like what elements or characters do you want? And I'll rephrase the question as we tackle it. If you don't mind, being more specific. Do you think yay to OT characters or nay to OT characters? Like, do we just
yay?
Okay, yeah, so you think
absolutely.
You've got to have
Luke at least. If you can't have anyone else, please let Luke be there, even if it's just his face, like, clouded in shadow, and I only see the beard, and that's all I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mark, so you're in the same... I don't know. I think it'd be kind of a bold artistic statement to say we don't even need to show Harrison Ford, who's, like, by far the biggest star.
Well, you don't need to show any of them, really. I mean, we know they're going to be there, but... I think it's appealing to the fans to get to see that, you know, to have it hit the screen. I mean, think about the deleted scenes and stuff from the original trilogy with Luke working on his lightsaber and stuff when that stuff hit. People went nuts. I mean, seeing that stuff, it's part of the fandom side of what we get a kick out of. But when I think about the trailer and this little clip of the Millennium Falcon especially, it's like, I want, if it's going to be short, I want a lot of the Falcon. Like, I don't want just, like, that clip being all that I'm ever going to see in this trailer.
Yes.
I want to see it fly more than once.
All right, I'm like, taking the plunge.
I want to see a lot of X-Wings and more than just one battle.
Okay, sorry. I'm taking the plunge. But independent sources during the program have been confirming. And by independent sources, I mean Kenny Crowley in the chat, who finally pointed out. I was like, I saw some stuff in the chat. I was like, oh, the trailer's just been shown to the UK 501st Garrison. And I'm like, you're kidding. There's no way. Really? And so skeptical Riley immediately, so I don't say anything. And we calmly keep talking about the trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, meanwhile, so what do you Skyping. Want to see in the trailer, Bethany? And I'm going, type, where can I find this? And then, so this is from the Star Wars Underworld, and Kenny Crowley just put this in the chat. This is amazing. This is breaking news right here on the podcast, posted just over an hour ago, barely 15 minutes or so before we went live. James Burns, who I have personally met and talked to and trust, tweets this. Allow me to find it. At UK Garrison dinner for the 501st. They've just shown us the hashtag Force Awakens trailer, hashtag OMG, at Jedi News, at Jedi Alba, at Jedi Alba, also hashtag been drinking too much. Lots of hashtags. The Force Awakens trailer has been seen by Star Wars fans who aren't us. Darn it. So here's the deal. As I record this on the podcast, you're hearing it immediately afterwards, but it's actually the following day after texting and kind of finding out that the good folks over at Jedi News had been having a little bit of fun at our expense and indeed had not seen a Star Wars Episode 7 trailer. Sigh. I was sad. It's very disappointing. So I'm afraid what I thought about doing, because we spent really the next 10-15 minutes wrapping up the podcast talking about and just kind of having fun with the fact that we had, or at least we thought, folks had actually seen the Star Wars Episode 7 trailer, turned out not to be the case. However, as we'd mentioned previously, or as you listened to this podcast only a few minutes ago, the Slash Film piece that Peter Serrata put up on Saturday, as you listen to this, is still live, and he is claiming that we're going to see select screenings of the Star Wars Episode 7 trailer in theaters Thanksgiving weekend, this upcoming weekend, as I record this. So it is coming, but the details as far as seeing a screening, I guess, with a 501st dinner at the UK, is not the case, sadly. But it's fun to think about. So I guess what I wanted to do is just go ahead and bring this episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. I want to thank Bethany and Mark for joining me yesterday as I record this, and for you to listen, for listening. Really do appreciate you guys who tune in each and every week. But a couple administrative notes before we head out. If you want to follow along with our continuing journey here as Star Wars fans, you want to hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. It's facebook.com/StarWarsReport and twitter.com/StarWarsReport. You can also find all of our podcasts over at StarWarsReport.com. And if you're new to us, well, I've set up a special URL just for you. Just go to StarWarsReport.com/about, and that gives you a nice introduction to us and our family of podcasts. That's like I said, that's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. If you want to hit us up on our personal social media, you can do so. I'm at the Riley Guy, and Bethany is at Bethany L. Blanton. That's on Instagram and Twitter. Mark is on Twitter at IllogicalRogue2. And you can email us, like so many have in recent weeks. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to this week's podcast. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Enjoyed this podcast episode, we have one polite request for you. Consider, nay, consult your inner heart and decide, do I really want to leave these people an iTunes review? And then think to yourself of the entertainment value that this podcast has brought to you.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in the original trilogy.